Folks, are you tired of people telling you your band is too darn loud when you're just trying to practice in your house or garage? Well, if you live in Austin, I have the solution for you. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, fantastic courteous staff. They have everything you need to get your artistic business together at Space. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and start playing as loud as you want in Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down. Hey gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify now has all of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here? Yes, all of your podcasts are available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store. And don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, thousands of podcasts. Let's get down.
How did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
When we talked. All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Turkey Day, maybe you spent it with family, friends, loved ones. Maybe you had a low-key Thanksgiving. That's what I went with this year. Couldn't go visit my family in Houston and do the family Thanksgiving because I played here Wednesday, playing here tonight Friday, playing in Houston Saturday. I didn't want to go back and forth to Houston, Austin, you know what I mean? That just sounded crazy. Anyway, so I was invited to some Thanksgiving things, but I passed on them because it's been a busy, kind of like intense couple of weeks. And so I just hung out with Rosie, my dog. We went to the dog park. I did some laundry. I made some green beans and some chicken. We had some, I had some spicy empanadas. I didn't Thanksgiving out. I just kind of chilled out and hung out and laid low with Rosie, and it was great. Got some stuff done around the house, like laundry, cleaning up my room, and watched the first episode of Get Back, the Beatles documentary on Disney. I'm sure you guys all know about it. Probably watched it by now. I don't know when I'm going to watch the other two episodes. Because I'm playing tonight, Austin. Hey, gang, if you're in Austin, come on out and see Skyrocket tonight, Friday, November 26th at Hotspot. It's going to be a great show. Going to be a good time, man. Outside in a chilly night, man, wear your jacket. Finally bust out that jacket you haven't been able to wear since Snowpocalypse. Yeah, man, bring it out. Come on out and dance. Dance off those holiday pounds and stay warm with the dancing. Tonight, Friday, November 26th. At Hotspot, Skyrocket, if you're into it. And I'm going to Houston tomorrow to play a show with Skyrocket as well. And I actually have a dog sitter staying with Rosie, my old friend Chris. She was just on the show a couple weeks ago. Chris Schultz just put out a new record. Fantastic record. Anyway, she's staying with Rosie. And so she's staying with Rosie because I guess what I'm trying to say is the girl that I was dating, that we got Rosie together as a couple, like, hey, let's get this dog. She and I are no longer together as of a couple weeks ago. We split up, and the good news is I got Rosie all to myself. Don't even have to share her. So I'm very stoked about that. I'm really glad that I got a dog in my life. I was scared to get a dog without a partner because of my traveling and having to go out of town and playing shows and long sessions. But so far, the sessions have been at the bubble. She's been able to go there and play. She went with me to Houston when I went for a couple days a few weeks ago, and she stayed with my grandma and my aunt. And this week, she'll be staying here, and my friend Chris will be taking care of her. So that'll be great, man. Got a dog sitter. Got a sweet dog. Going back in the studio this weekend with Frenchie Smith for the Austin Music Foundation, doing TV Temple and Natalie Price. We've done four sessions. They've all turned out fantastic. Frenchie Smith, he can really turn shit out really fast. These bands are coming in cold and recording two songs in 2 days and knocking it out of the park. A couple of the bands got done really fast with how great they were. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, looking forward to TV Temple and Natalie Price next week. And so is Rosie, because she loves going out there and playing with her good buddy Boba and her buddy Reggie. She has a good time, man. Gang, I have an incredible show for you today. My old friend Katie Rain returns to the show today. I don't know how many times she's been on the show, but she's been on the show for a long time. And I've actually known Katie Rain quite a long time. I've known her over 10 years. She was my neighbor. I moved into these apartments, and she was my neighbor. And I got to know her a little bit. Not great, but I got to know her. I hung out with her. She's my friend. And she's really, like, she's gone through a lot in her life. And she's sort of at a point now where she's able to really express it and talk about it. And her music has sort of taken on this intensity that you didn't really expect from Katie Rain. If you've been listening to Katie Rain for the last, like, you know, 5 years or something, then this is a different Katie Rain than you knew first. But she's growing. She's growing as an artist. She actually has this great rock song called Got Away that she did with my friend Frenchie Smith out at the Bubble. Great, great rock and roll song, even though she's known for her pop jams. Now, she just dropped a bunch of mixes of a single this week called Love Me Loud. I'll play you a little bit of that song before our talk, and I'll play it out at the end of the show so you'll get to hear it. Love Me Loud, available now. Great song, Crooked. But she's also splitting up her shows a little bit between the main pop stuff that she's been doing with tracks for the last few years to like a full-on, no tracks, rock band, execution, basically like a primal like expression. That's what she's getting into now. And I'm, you know, we go really deep on this. I mean, she's been on the show many times. We've had a lot of conversations about music, about sort of like what she was doing, about fans. And you know her online, and her presence online is very intense. It can be engaging, but I'm sure for some people it can also be like pretty, like, you know, scary. But Katie Rain is who she is, and that's why I'm proud of her for being who she is. And she's been through a lot. We talk about it. Like, we go deep this time. That's what I was trying to say. We go deep this time. Very deep. She's got a video for her song Love Struck is in the Austin Music Video Festival. Now, we talk about that. But I only judged two categories, and neither of the categories had that video in it. So I never even got to judge it. But hopefully she does well. Maybe she'll win that. That thing's taking place next weekend. The Austin Music Video Festival. You can go find it out there. Anyway, Katie Rain. KatieRain.com. That's where you can find out her stuff. You can go to KatieRainStore.com and buy a bunch of Katie Rain stuff. But check out her new single, Love Me Loud, and the many mixes of it. Available on Spotify. Here's one of them right now. And here's me and the brilliant Katie Rain chatting it up. Let's get down.
Avril Lavigne.
Oh, it was Avril Lavigne, wasn't it? Did she steal it from somewhere, or someone stole it? Wasn't there some kind of controversial?
Yeah, yeah. She definitely stole that hook from somebody.
From a person?
Yeah, old rocker people.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. When was that song out? What was that, like 12 years ago or something?
Yeah, a long time ago. Avril just came out with a new single called Bite Me. It's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because Got Away, is it the one that got away or just got away?
Glad I'm the One That Got Away. So it's just called Got Away.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But it was sent to me with a different name, but then when I went to go listen to it, it was just Got Away.
Oh, got it.
So you did that with Frenchie?
Yeah.
And is this a new direction?
I mean, so basically,
because it's a different. I mean, it's like
it's different. It's way different.
If you put that on a playlist and it was like, I've been leaving voicemails, and then it went to that song, you'd be like, what happened to her?
Yeah,
you
know. What I mean? Yeah, it's definitely really, really different than my other stuff. But basically, like, I don't know. I grew up listening to so many different types of music when I was growing up and when I was a teenager. And I have so many different like influences.
Right.
And I don't know. I was kind of just feeling like trapped within the genre of kind of bubblegum pop, you know? And I realized that pop is so much more than just like top radio hits, you know? There's pop punk, there's pop country, there's pop rock, there's pop, like every, there's so many things that are under the umbrella of pop music. And whenever I basically got like a full band, I had never had a full band before I got ready to play ACL.
October 2019.
So yeah, when I started playing and practicing with the full band and started playing with my manager, who also plays bass for me, he kind of, Morgan, yeah.
Good guy.
He grew up in kind of more of like the punk rock indie scene rather than the pop world. And so, yeah, we just started writing together and writing like more kind of grittier, fast paced stuff made more sense with a live band. So I don't know. We just made shit that sounded cool and sounds fun. I don't know.
I see that happens. And the funny thing is that it's hard to do pop in the venues that are open to you to do it.
Yes.
Like Stubbs indoors. That's
yes.
not necessarily a pop music room.
Austin,
bars are not necessarily pop music rooms.
Austin,
pop is arenas.
Austin, Texas isn't really like pop oriented
but
in general.
Right, but I mean just the club scene, like even if you were in New York, if you were doing it in the places that I've played in New York, it would be just like trying to do it.
It'd be weird.
The thing is that it's more expensive than a bar.
Yeah.
What you're doing is extra people that may not even be playing music, they're dancing or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's a whole production
like
that
I
goes
put,
along.
Yeah, like I put on like festival level or like arena level shows, but like I am not an arena level artist. And so,
but the music that you're making is arena level.
Yeah.
So it's, fuck.
It's weird. I know. It's so frustrating to like be in kind of like this in-between spot because, you know, like I've always wanted to make music that was big and bold and professional and like, you know, you could listen
right.
to it and you could hear it on the radio, you
right.
know, like
right.
I would never want somebody to listen to my music and have them think, oh, I can tell she's an independent artist. She must do all of this stuff herself.
No,
wow.
you have a great handle on all of the things that make a star.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you're a great songwriter. You're a fucking amazing singer.
I try.
Yeah. And you are a fucking weirdo.
Yes. Yes. And with being a fucking weirdo, I wanted to, like, the longer I've been on stage and the longer I've been playing music and the longer I've been, like, coming into myself, like, I've just leaned in to the weirdness.
Yeah.
And really, like, what's the point of making music and releasing new music if it just sounds like the same fucking bullshit that you were working on 6 years ago? You know, why would you want to write the same song
right.
over and over and over?
Well, also the presentation of pop changes.
Like, yeah.
You know, what we hear now on pop radio is not Call Me Maybe by
yeah.
any means anymore.
Definitely.
It's a different world now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked that era of pop. I was very into pop during that time. I was listening to pop radio all the time.
I'm
and I was
so into just everything pop music. Like how the music world evolves and changes and like cycles back around. Like pop punk right now is like a hot
it
topic.
Is.
And like pop punk is kind of coming back into its own. You know, when I started listening to pop punk when I was like
a kid, like
11,
right,
10
right, right,
years old
right.
with like Blink 182.
Right, right.
I was obsessed with Blink 182. I had two copies of the Josie and the Pussycats movie soundtrack, which was way big, pop punk, but it was also like produced by like really big, talented.
Yeah, I think my friend Jane Wedlin had some songs on there.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
1 degree away.
1 degree away, baby.
Or 2 degrees, technically.
2 degrees, yeah. Yeah, I'm 1 degree, you're 2 degrees.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, pop has changed, and it's always changing. That's the that's the nature of pop, right?
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast, you know? Like, I guess there's some artists that can get away with just, like, repackaging and releasing the same song, the same album over and over. I would name names, but I don't want to get in trouble, but I can think of a few.
Well, I mean,
but
there's all kinds of people.
Many people that, like, they just have a thing, and that's shtick, and that's what they do. But, like, I want, like, with me, I don't know, like, expecting the unexpected. Like, I don't want people to know what I'm going to wear when I step on stage. I don't want people to know what the show is going to entail. Like, I don't want people to have an idea in their head of what my music is going to sound like or what I'm going to say. Like, it's all a surprise. Like, it's all a delightful surprise, I guess. that's what I like. I like to surprise people.
It's funny because now I would say that you would fall into a category of more of an art pop.
Yeah.
More than, you know what I mean?
Like, it's, or like alternative pop.
Right. Wherever the muse takes you, you're still going to make songs that people can sing along to.
Yeah. Like, it's still pop at the end of the day.
Yeah,
it's got hooks on hooks on hooks, but it's not, you know.
Well, this is a pretty aggro. It Got Away is a pretty, I mean, it's pretty intense, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's intense.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. I've written some kind of intense songs. I wrote another song. It's not recorded yet. We'll hopefully be recording with Frenchie again, probably in the new year, like early whenever his studio is done. But it's called Dead to Me. And it is equally as intense. And it is a song about hating my mother. So,
wow, you hate your mother?
Oh, yeah. I don't like her. I mean, I love my mother, but like I had to.
You had to get away.
Yeah.
Separate.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. I'm sure I would have said this in the intro already. We're gonna get into this.
Yes.
But I've known you. You and me have been friends for like 11 years now.
Yeah, a long time.
11 years.
Yeah, we met 2010 at this apartment complex
over there in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You weren't a pop artist.
No, I dabbled around and like made music and like put some songs out on SoundCloud, like just kind of messing around. I had been in bands since I was in high school.
Right, right.
But like, you know, my high school band, we put out our songs on our MySpace page, which I actually deleted because I was so embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to find it.
You see that picture back there? That's me in 13 at my 14 at my first gig. We recorded that show and I destroyed the tape.
Oh yeah.
Even though it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Embarrassing. I have
What was that stuff like?
It was really cool. My first band that I was in, I actually was in like a rock camp called Natural Ear Music Camp.
I remember that.
Who it was run by Alvin Crow.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike Murphy.
Yeah.
They're kind of like legendary.
Like
Austin,
Michael Martin Murphy?
Mike Murphy, she's a woman.
Oh, right. Well, okay, yeah, I know who you're talking
about. And then Alvin Crow, the violinist, legendary Texas musician. Yeah, they ran a music camp, and I did that the summer when I was 15 and did a couple sessions of that. So my first show was at the Broken Spoke, which was fucking cool. And then I also had my second show like that fall at the Broken.
Did you walk in there just like you are now?
Yeah, I wore fairy wings. I wore black angel wings my first show and silver cowboy boots. I look fucking crazy. Yeah, and like the second performance that I did for that, Rocky Erickson was there.
What?
And yeah, and I did a performance of Don't Slander Me.
Whoa.
So yeah, I got to meet, like they didn't tell me until after I had gotten off stage, but they were like, hey, just so you know, Rocky Erickson is here and you should go meet him because you just did a song. And I was like, what? So like,
what did he say? Because he was kind of out there.
He said I did a great job.
Okay,
and
so he
shook
was coming back into it?
Yeah.
Because there was a point there. There was a long time, the 80s and 90s. He was like...
Yeah, it was 2000. That was fall of 2005. I ended up playing his son's like birthday party.
Jagar?
Jagar. Yeah. I ended up playing his birthday party like a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just played it like Rudamaya a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
I played it a bunch.
The Rudamaya down there?
Yeah, down on South Congress where the strip club is. Yeah. I played at a lot of like little old venues. I played at my first Starbucks that I worked at because they had like a music program back then. But like, I don't know. I just got so distracted basically by like drugs and alcohol and boys that like being
you were living with the boy when I met you.
Yeah.
And you were partying. I remember one night there was like a legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Like I came home from some gig and you guys were.
Yeah.
It was like some Everclear punch I drank.
Trash can punch. Yep.
I remember that vividly.
Yep. Yep. That was Sam's 20th birthday party. We got the cops called on us. but it turned out that the cop that came to like give us a ticket, he was the cop that I had been buttering up for like a year, giving him free drinks at Starbucks every time he came in.
So it worked out.
Yeah. Instead of getting a ticket or getting arrested, because most of the kids were underage. You and me were the only people over the age of 21 at that party.
And the girl I was going out with.
Yeah. Right. And I think there was like maybe one other person, but like I bought all the booze. So like if it had been a cop like that wanted to arrest me, like I could have gotten in huge trouble.
I was probably there for like 30 minutes because I played a gig, I think, in another city.
Yeah.
Come back here. And
whoop.
Whoa. Rosie just scared herself. And come back here and like, it was crazy.
It was
so crazy that I was like,
yeah, we got the
I'm
cops.
Too old for this.
We got the cops called on us because there were women that were running around the courtyard half naked.
Yeah,
with their tops off and their underwear on because it was a no pants party. So like the rule was, it's like you could come to the party and you could wear clothes, but you couldn't wear pants.
Right.
So you had to wear like something
shorts
else
or something. Okay.
Other than pants.
All right. So what if you don't mind talking about it, what happened with your mom? I mean, you got this whole song coming out about it. Is it in the song?
Yeah. I think my family might disown me over it. I don't know. My family, there's a lot of like trauma within my family. And like, I realized that I went through a lot of trauma in my childhood. And it started like a lot earlier than I had previously thought. And so, yeah, basically, I just realized that my mom was an abusive narcissist and she didn't like her love is conditional.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have distanced myself from her in the past and come back and because I felt guilty or bad or I felt like I had to. But ultimately, like, over the pandemic, like over this last year, we had stopped talking to her because she like blew up and ruined a family holiday again, which she has been doing for decades, apparently, even before I was born. But yeah, like I told her, like, I want to continue to have a relationship with you, but in order to do so, it is a requirement that we go to therapy together. Like, we need to go to family therapy.
A narcissist isn't going to do that.
Oh, no. So she was just coming up with, like, all sorts of excuses as to... First, she was saying that she wanted her new husband to be there. And I was like, why?
He doesn't have anything to do with
it. Yeah, like, he was not present in my childhood.
She needs a defense.
Yeah.
She needs a...
Exactly. Yeah, she wanted her new husband to be there. And then she was like, oh... They're doing this, but not this because of COVID. And like, I don't know, like this is going to be expensive. And like, I don't know if I'm going to be available. Like, mind you, she's retired now.
She
has nothing but fucking time to go to therapy.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. It's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah, like she had just made like excuse after excuse after excuse on like why therapy, like, and was just making it very obvious that therapy was not a top priority for her. So I was just like, you know what? I'm done. So I went no contact with her on Mother's Day, actually.
This year?
Yeah.
She live here? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're from here.
She lives like less than 5 minutes from where I live, like in the house that I grew up in.
That's sad, man. I'm sorry about that. That sucks.
It is what it is. But like, I had to talk to her the other day because like my sister's gone through some stuff. But like, I have absolutely no interest in like...
That's a tough realization to come to when I have that kind of thing with my dad, and I do go back because I feel guilty.
Yeah.
Like, poor guys, you know. It's kind of weird. And then why do I keep doing that?
It's upsetting. You know, my sister still has a relationship with her, and like her relationship with my mom, our mom, is her thing, but like just keep me out of it. I don't want to be involved, but
yeah.
Yeah, Dead to Me is going to come out, and my mom is not going to like that one.
I don't mean to laugh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be funny, and it might be very bad. My family might disown me for airing out family trauma, but that's
It's your truth, though.
Yeah.
And you're an artist that's expressing that truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's collateral damage, man.
And that truth is true for so many other people. Yeah, like, we've performed that song at a few shows now. By the end of the song, everyone in the crowd is singing along. Like, they've never heard the song before, but they're singing along and screaming along and freaking out. And like, you know, when I talk to people after the shows, they say that was their favorite song. So like, I know that it speaks to people.
Right.
I know that there are millions of people who struggle with their relationships with their parents and that have, you know, toxic family dynamics. And so I know that it's a story and something that speaks to people. And it's like, it's crazy when you realize that, you know, like, I've been through some shit, right? But like, you think that like you're the only person who's ever experienced it. Right. But then when you start doing research and start going to therapy and start talking about it, you realize
people have written books about your problem.
Yeah. Like, I first realized that after I nearly died from domestic violence, basically, that started me, you know, getting serious about music. I was in my first therapy session for it. I don't know what.
I'm sorry.
It's like a weird, like, honking musical.
Yeah, it's like a Mellotron or something from very far.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
I first realized that, like, my experience wasn't special when, like, I was talking with the therapist. I was like, yeah, so, like, it would be really, really great for, like, a couple days to a couple weeks, and he would be buying me stuff, and he would be so sweet. And he would take me places, and he would take me out to dinner, and then he would just turn so evil and mean and hit me and spit on me and call me names and break up with me. And but then the next day he would buy me flowers, and he would, you know, it would all be nice again.
And so conditional love is something you were already conditioned to live with. So this worked out perfectly for who you are or were at the time.
My mom made this happen. Yeah. Like, which is another reason why I wanted to disown her.
Yeah.
But anyway,
sorry, so I
know it's
your
funny.
Delivery is incredible.
The trauma is funny ultimately. Cause it whatever.
I'm actually back actively in therapy. So the reason why I'm laughing is just because all of this stuff, even though that isn't what happened exactly to me, it's these weird fucking things that you get set up for. And then you're in these relationship with your mom, but it's a dude.
And then
that's your boyfriend.
It's the same thing.
It's
the same shit.
The fuck is wrong with us?
Yeah. And so I was in this therapy session, like, describing our relationship, and she takes out a piece of paper from a folder and she hands it to me. And on the piece of paper is a little circle. It's a little like infographic, and it's titled "The Cycle of Abuse." And it like it just like went like TikTok, like clockwork around the clock about the cycle of how my relationship worked. And I was like, holy shit! Like, this is so common that there's a fucking like photocopied infographic that they give out at therapy sessions at this place to like explain what's going on. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is like what
we're
I
not
went,
alone.
Yeah. Like what, like it's comforting because like, you know, I like this is not just happening to me, but it's also fucking terrifying because this is not just happening to me. It's a really weird.
My dad's a narcissist like that. Yeah. You give him information, like one of my mom's sisters was diagnosed a few years ago with Parkinson's disease. And when I told him, his response was, "Isn't she a women's libber?"
Oh my God.
So I just told you that my aunt has fucking Parkinson's, dude. Your response is, "Isn't she a woman's libber?" Is that going to qualify whether or not she should receive treatment? Because if she's some liberal fucking women's libber, like, get her the fuck out of here. Like, you fucking psycho. My dad's that guy.
Yeah. People are terrible. But like, yeah. So I was actually talking with my therapist today, is that it is very difficult for me to forgive people because I wake up and get dressed and live every single fucking day out of pure spite. I know that people out there fucking hate me and wish I was dead and wish I would shut the fuck up, but I don't. So I keep going. And that is badass. But I do have this like power basically to like take this trauma and take like really shitty situations that have happened to me and transform them into art and transform them into music and things that other people can relate to and ways that other people can process their trauma. And, you know, with me like channeling, I guess, these awful things that have happened to me throughout my life into art, like it's therapy for me. And like I live through my art. So like, but yeah, I talked with my therapist today and I need to learn how to forgive because I've got a lot of, got a lot of spite.
You will. There's the steps, you know. You can't just walk out forgiving everyone.
Oh, I mean,
you
gotta
go through the pissed off part first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just scream and yell, and then you can be like, "All right.
Yeah.
I got it out.
Yeah.
You guys are okay."
Yeah. You know, like it's weird dealing with grief and trauma and like, you know, grieving losing somebody, but they're still alive and they live right down the street, but like you don't really want to talk with them or tell them anything about your life anymore. And like that sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
that does suck. And I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah. And it's not just with like your mom or your parents, but it's with like former lovers too, you know? And it's like you had your whole life with this person and it's just all gone now.
Then they're like, "Get the fuck out of here and take that stinky dog with you."
Yeah. That's so mean. Like people just change. Like you think you know somebody and you don't.
But sometimes you do. But you don't acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know them, and there's some quiet times when you're like, "Man, this isn't gonna work." And you snap back into the dream of wanting to be happy and wanting to be unconditionally loved by somebody.
Yeah.
Not conditionally loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. We're getting really deep here.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I can't believe you. I guess the therapy was a good warm up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I had therapy at 10 a.m.
Are you still going to Zoom therapy? Or are you doing it?
It's Zoom therapy.
I'm Zooming it too.
Yeah.
I got the choice, like, "Hey, you can come," and I was like, "Well, I don't think I'm ever gonna go again."
I'm not going anywhere.
I like just being already home, not having to like get in the car all crying, trying to make sure no one sees you like at a red light. Is that Johnny Gowdy from the podcast? Yeah. What's he crying about?
Physically going in front of somebody and talking about that is not my bag.
Yeah. All right, so I'm sorry that you're going through that, and that is difficult.
I mean, it's whatever it's like.
It's what we all go through.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. All of us go through it.
On some level, we're going through the worst thing.
I'm honestly doing pretty good, all things considered. Like, I've learned a lot about myself, like, during the pandemic and realized a lot of things about myself. And yeah, you know, like, it is sad to know that, like, you know, your childhood was, like, not normal. And, like, you are, like, broken. You are broken. But like, it's cool to learn that shit about yourself and fix yourself because, and to have the opportunity, because a lot of times people don't fix themselves. They just ignore it and push it away, you know? So the fact that like I can acknowledge the bad stuff and move through it and again, transmute it into something positive, like that, you know, other people can listen to my music and feel something.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. That's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
On a musical note, you did the ACL as a pop artist, like the tracks. And did you have a band or did you just have dancers? I looked at...
I had a band and dancers. I had a full band and dancers and tracks. It was like everything.
Everything.
Yeah. It was fucking crazy. It was one of the best days of my life.
Not just not just getting to play something that big, but also in your hometown where you, and I know I've talked to so many pop artists in town that all feel marginalized in some way, but like now you're on the big stage at the big place, plus you're a native Austin person, so you've been around since the first one.
I used to sneak into ACL. I snuck into ACL in high school, like ran through the fucking entrance or like... you know, would go like later in the afternoon and like as people were leaving, I'd be like, hey, are you coming back? They'd be like, no, I'm tired. I'd be like, give me a wristband, dude. Yeah, and then I'd just take their wristband and go on in, you know, like,
did you,
I think I only paid to, I've been to like four or five ACLs. I think I only paid to ever go to one. And it was like $100 for a weekend pass back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was like a totally surreal experience. It was so cool.
Can you remember it, or were you like, were you going on stage and you were like, not only were you playing like the biggest show you've played yet, right?
Yeah,
that was the biggest show you've played, so you're playing the biggest show you've played yet, but also in an arena that you've been coming to most of your life and sneaking into.
Yeah,
I mean, like, how
I mean, the
seems
whole,
like you'd forget words or something.
Yeah,
after a little while.
I thought that I would, honestly. I was just like, it was so stressful and it was so crazy and there were so many emotions. This was also something that I talked with my therapist, but that like I have this ability to where like no matter what's going on around me, like no matter how crazy it is or how freaked out I am or whatever, if I've got like a performance or I need to do something, I can compartmentalize my emotions.
Oh, yeah. Show business.
It's show business.
It's also growing up with trauma, which makes us all perfect for show business.
Yes, exactly.
Because we can compartmentalize.
Yeah,
when
just compartmentalize my emotions, put the stress in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
then I just have to trust, like, I have to trust, like, I have been preparing for this moment for months.
Yeah.
All I can do is just trust myself. Trust everyone around me that they're gonna try their best and just fucking go.
Yeah.
Like, as like even like 5 minutes before I went on stage, somebody came backstage that was not supposed to be there to say hi to me. Was not ideal. But I just was like, hey, good to see you. I gotta go on stage now.
Yeah.
And then just like
you can't give up. There's a lot of energy you got to store it up.
Yeah,
you can't
like,
be
I'm not
dropping
give,
little shits of energy to some like, jackass that's walking backstage to be like,
I'm not
talk to her before the show.
Yeah,
that's all.
Like,
that's all they wanted to
I
do.
I know. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna give away my energy. I'm not gonna freak out. Like, I'm not gonna. I just gotta fucking do this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, like, it happened in the blink of an eye. I still remember being on stage and, yeah, like, it felt like an out-of-body experience. Like, I was like, watching myself from outside of my body, like, doing it at the same time that, like, I was doing it.
Yeah.
It feels weird. Like, your body feels lighter.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't really have to think. It just kind of happens. But, yeah it was really cool. It was badass. It's still the biggest show I've played yet.
Well, because there were no shows since then.
There were no shows, yeah. And
that was
fucking, it was fucking bullshit because, like, I got booked for, like, 3 festivals that year. I was making hella money.
Right.
I was killing it. But then, yeah, the pandemic happened and all of the shows stopped. And I went from playing like 3 or 4 shows a month, making pretty good money. Like 2019 was the first year that I actually turned a profit, on making music. Thank you. But then 2020 happened and I lost like 20 grand.
And it's difficult for like someone like you can't like not, I don't mean someone like you in a weird way, but I mean like a pop artist can't really do a live stream.
No.
Like once again, that's too expensive. Yeah, there's too much production for.
I don't really play live instruments. Like
it's also not like.
It's not the same show.
Do people
show.
Really want to hear?
Yeah, it's these like songs playing with karaoke
on a fucking ukulele or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It sucked. It was awful.
What'd you do during the pit? What did I do? Okay, wait a minute. This is the main thing I was going for with that. So you played with the band at ACL.
Yeah.
Okay. So was it after that that you decided, okay, I'm going to start doing it more like a band?
It kind of just like morphed into that. I actually like had to talk with the band because nobody really knew like, if I really wanted like the band to be like in Katie Rain, or is Katie Rain like a part of the band, or is the band part of Katie Rain? But like Katie Rain is its own like thing. Like I am the forefront of it, and I can make music without the band, because like before I had a band, all of my music was just made with producers. It was written with a primary instrument. But like there were no band members involved. Right, it was just all sounds that were made on a computer.
Sure.
So I can still do that, but I really like using the feel of live instruments and having the creative input of the band to like formulate the instrumentation and like have this kind of grittier, organic sound. Because like it's really cool to be able to play songs without tracks, but still have them sound like full and magical and like hooky,
right,
without having all the fluff of like, 30 backing tracks.
Right,
you know?
Right. Do you when you play now, like your band has to move into more aggressive level,
kind of, right? Yeah,
like if you're gonna play Rad Moves and also Got Away, like you got to find some way to make, do you try and make Rad Moves match what you're doing now? Do you do
two separate sets? It's really weird. So like basically what we've got going on right now with the live show is like the first 4 or 5 tracks are like what
people have come to know you for.
Katie Rain show is. Just the tracks with the band playing like pretty much in exact time to the tracks and like, whatever. But then I warn them, like, we're going weird. We're going into punk rock times. And then like we drop the backing tracks and then we just play a few songs like live without backing tracks.
Do you have any gigs booked? You don't.
No, I just played one this past Saturday for my music video release party, but
the video for Love Struck?
For Got Away.
Oh, for Got Away.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're moving too fast. But Love Struck is in the Austin Music Video Festival, right?
Yes, it is. I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guitarist actually made that video.
Really?
Like, by hand. Yeah. He did all, like, he was like, what do you want the video to be about? And I was like, we knew we wanted to do stop motion. And I was like, I want to be pop star Barbie. And I want to be driving in a little pink Barbie convertible with a hot Ken down the highway and with my hair blowing in the wind. And like, that was the only guidance that I gave him for what I wanted the music video to be. And he just like came up with everything else and hand animated everything.
I'm a judge this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Nepotism.
I don't know, man.
Vote
we'll see.
For me,
we'll
baby.
See. I haven't seen the other ones. They haven't sent me the link yet to start watching.
Dang it. Yeah. They just sent a request to download it. So they probably just downloaded it.
It's probably just getting down.
Yeah. 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 Vote for me though.
I'll try.
Maybe.
I can't say.
You can't say.
I'm going to be fair.
Be objective.
Of
be objective.
I am.
Be objective. But if objectively Love Struck is the best, you can't be like, well, I can't vote for her because I know her. You just got to.
Right. Oh, I won't not vote for you if it's great.
Okay.
If it's the best one, I will totally vote for you.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to vote for the best one. I haven't seen them all yet.
Fair.
Can't okay. say I'm not a, you can't buy me off.
Okay, cool. That's fair. That's fair. I respect that.
I might let Rosie judge, and she really likes you.
Oh.
it'd be funny if this dog's a judge. So you will be doing more shows.
Yes, hopefully. I hope I get booked for more shows. Lord.
Do you have a booking agent and stuff? Like, you
no,
have a manager?
I have a manager.
And he plays bass in your band.
Yeah.
Does that ever get weird?
No. Morgan is a Renaissance man.
He's a Renaissance man.
Morgan literally does everything. I don't pay him nearly enough. He is a saint and a scholar. He is not only the manager for my band, but he manages like four or five other bands. He does all of my graphic design. He like talks to everyone on my behalf.
Yes, spoke
and
to me.
He like, I am constantly messaging him with like things that need to be done or things that I am worried about or like interpersonal issues. And he just takes it all in stride. Morgan, I love Morgan.
Does he act as music director in the band as well? Does he kind of?
He acts as kind of like
that?
Technical
right,
troubleshooting.
Right.
But I'm definitely still kind of like the ringleader
yeah.
of all of it. Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to even mess with that. A lot of people in your position, the lead singer in a pop world, they have a guy that or a woman or somebody that deals with what their
band does?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like even Michael Jackson had it, you know.
No. I mean, I just like
musical director.
Yeah, I yeah. like to.
You like to get in there.
Get in there, yeah. Like
that's
I
cool.
like to, because I can't really play any instruments very well, just because like I also sing. I've never gotten technically proficient enough to where I can like play and sing at the same time. Like I could back in high school a little bit, but yeah. I just never practiced, so I just lost it. But you know, I can hear by ear what melody you should be playing, and I can tell you what chords to play, and I can tell you what works and what doesn't.
Right, right.
You
of
know,
course. Yeah.
So yeah, I like being able to tell the band like how I want songs to feel and how I want the direction to go.
It's interesting because that's the same kind of thing with producers. I just watched that Tom Petty thing. I know it's pretty off. I don't know if you're a fan
oh,
of his.
I haven't seen it.
But
yeah.
it's on YouTube. They found all this footage from when they recorded Wildflowers.
Cool.
And they made a documentary. It's on YouTube. But it's great. But they were talking about Rick Rubin. And Rick Rubin, to me, is one of my favorite producers. But he doesn't play any music at all.
Mm-hmm.
He can just tell you, like, oh, that's not cool. You
yeah. know? And like
that's just as valid what... as a fucking
yeah that's
you know.
Pretty much what I do too, like I also don't like produce, like I've dabbled around in Ableton and like messed around, and I really want to learn how to produce, but really where I shine is as a songwriter.
Yeah,
I can write songs all day
yeah.
long, all day long. You tell me what you want to write a song about, I'll have it done in 30 minutes, like that a full song, that's it, and it'll be catchy as shit.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I like sitting down with a producer and guiding them too. And I can tell them like, maybe let's try this instrumentation, or let's try this beat, let's try this vibe, or like I'll play them references of like
yeah.
my influences and what I want it to sound like and feel like, and just like guide them through the creation process.
What are you listening to these days?
Myself. Because I am terrified of what other people will think, and I'm trying to convince myself that it is good.
I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
Because
when
really.
I do it, then I'm like, this is terrible. The more I listen
I know,
to something
listen,
before it
I'm
comes
like,
out, the more
oh,
I'm like,
God.
This, why am I
yeah,
doing this?
Yeah, I've been torturing myself. I have been, me and my sister is a huge Swiftie. So Taylor's
oh, yeah.
version of Red came out.
Yeah.
It's like 2 hours and 30 That's, minutes.
I just saw this thing the other night on Saturday Night Live, or I put it on.
Yeah,
on,
and she performed.
On Sunday, and I was doing some shit around the house, and I mean, I had to rewind it. Like, is this the same song? Like, why is this? Why is this? And it was one long song.
Yeah, the All Too Well 10-minute version. 10-minute
song.
Yeah. The whole album.
Are pop fans ready for 10-minute Taylor Swift? Because that's what I was thinking.
It's the number one song on Spotify right now. Like, she literally broke records for first day on Spotify. All 30 tracks were on the Billboard Top 100, with the lowest one at 71 on the first day. Yeah. Taylor Swift is a fucking genius.
She is. I don't connect with her with everything she does. Her. There's a couple songs I like that song Trouble.
Yeah.
I like that song.
That song rules.
Rules.
Yeah.
The kick drum on in the chorus is kick ass when it goes to halftime.
Oh, yeah. I love Taylor Swift. And, like, I think it's so fucking badass that she, you know, that Scooter Braun, you know, went out from underneath her and took the masters of her music. And she just.
That's what happened?
Yeah. Scooter Braun owns her masters.
Right.
And so, no hesitation. She was like, okay, well, I'm just going to re-record my entire discography and re-release it as my version. So you can't own it anymore.
A lot of classic rock dudes did that at the beginning of iTunes and shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
It's fucking awesome. It's so cool. It's so cool. Like, it's badass. She's badass. And I really appreciate her cutting and unforgiving songs that she has written about various exes as well. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to Taylor Swift's album all the way through.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've been listening to my stuff.
Where are you at today? Like, from the last listen, was it an encouraging listen or was it a discouraging listen?
I don't know. It's really weird. It's just like listening to your own stuff and I'm just trying to figure out if it like works all together.
Yeah,
all the tracks are so different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does this make sense?
Or so you're going to put out an album?
Yeah.
That's going to have stuff like Got Away, but also Love Me Loud?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming out January 21st, 2022. It's my debut album.
You've never released an album.
I've never released an album. I've released an EP and a bunch of singles, but never an album.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm stoked. It's weird.
I'm stoked for you.
It's really cool.
And the remix of
Love Me Loud.
Love Me Loud is what's the latest release.
Okay, so all of the Love Me Loud versions are coming out on the same day.
And so this comes out on the 26th, so they'll already be out.
22nd.
Okay.
So they're coming out on Monday the 22nd, the Monday before Thanksgiving.
So this comes out the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so...
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. You will be ready.
You can just go right now to Spotify.
Yes.
Or where do you like people to go listen to you?
Spotify's rad because I'm trying to get more listeners and more followers on there. Follow me if you listen to me, please.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's three versions. There's the regular Love Me Loud version, which was produced by Michael Grubbs, who's in Wakey Wakey. He just moved here to Austin from Brooklyn, New York. He's super rad. And then there is the Love Me Loud Boy Sim remix, which Boy Sim is also super rad. He produced and also featured on it. And then I also have a third remix by Dedov. He is a Russian producer. He actually produced my song Bad Kids back in 2018. And he just he made some random post on Facebook that he was doing good in music. And I just said, congratulations. And then he DM'd me and he was like, let's work on more music together. And I was like, hell yeah.
Awesome. And,
he just did a remix. So it's like a more... tropical house remix. But yeah, nice. So there's three versions of Love Me Loud all coming out on Monday, and they're all different and they're all really cool.
Fucking congratulations.
Yeah.
They're out now. Go out there and check them out if you're listening to this the day that it comes out or anytime, because by the time this comes out, they'll already be out.
Yeah, they'll be there. They're in the world.
And so you're obviously going to do a record release show in January and stuff.
I, I hope so. I'm planning.
Why are you acting like it's not going to happen?
I have no idea. I don't know if the world's going to end. Everything is like,
it's getting pretty teetering. Weird, right? Yeah.
Everything's really weird. There's like an eclipse that's happening on Friday, and it's like,
is it not supposed to happen?
No, it's supposed to happen, but like, I don't know. Things are just weird, and like, you know, like, oh, no, I won't talk about that. Morgan would get mad if I talked about that. Press campaigns are ridiculous. I have PR going for this record release, and like, it's great to have PR, obviously, but just like dealing with press outlets is a nightmare. It's always fun and interesting.
Yeah. Well, at least this is, you know, this one's a little more relaxed.
Yeah. And it's weird with COVID too. Like, even my PR, they've like sent requests out to people, and they're getting emails back that are like, oh yeah, we don't cover music anymore, period. And these were like big.
Oh, just people blogs. That pivoted. Yeah.
Refinery 29. I don't know if you've heard of that blog, but they were a pretty big blog and they covered a lot of artists, but they just like nixed their whole music staff. Like, they do not cover music anymore.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Overload still covers music, right?
Yeah.
Still doing it. Still kicking.
Still doing it. Yeah. That, like, really what
that's
we...
That's Morgan's, right?
Yeah, that's Morgan's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what
I knew he was part of it. I just never knew if he was...
Yeah, what we realized is that, like, it's worse if we just sit here and don't release stuff. Like, you know, because the pandemic's happening and nobody really knows what's going on and, like, everything is a nightmare. But, like, we might as well just try to put it out and see what happens, so... You know, we got a PR campaign, and I'll be doing a non-commercial radio campaign too, which is really
exciting.
Like a
college radio campaign?
Yeah. I just ordered the CDs, so they're going to mail them out, and yeah, we'll be on college radio and NPR stations. So
fantastic.
Request me on your NPR station too when the album comes out.
Is there going to be a main single from the record? Do you know? You don't know yet?
Well, Crooked, Got Away, and Love Me Loud are the three main singles, but like, I don't know if you've heard the whole album, but like, all of it, all of the songs are different, like, genre-wise and vibe-wise and sound-wise, which is kind of risky and a little strange, but like, I grew up not really listening to albums so much as I listened to singles that
and
I would
playlists
download.
And shit.
Yeah, I would download singles off of LimeWire because you couldn't download a whole album off of Napster or LimeWire. It would crash your computer.
Right.
But you could download one song from one band and that would be the only song you knew from them. So like, I was really inspired by that to just have every song, every song be a single. So, I hope they play all the songs on the radio.
And also, I mean, also, like, you know, the time of like a focus concept album, the way that people listen to music now, it's not going to get through.
Yeah.
It's not going to cut through. People just listen to songs.
Yeah. That's what So I wanted it to be something that was like cohesive as a whole, where like you can tell that they're all kind of written by me or like whatever, but like they're all very different. They're all completely different songs that can all like stand on their own. So yeah, it's kind of like having some cohesive whole, but also like having it be completely separate and you can parse them out as singles at the same time. Yeah.
Cohesive Whole, by the way, is the name of my new punk rock band.
Also a weird innuendo.
But it's not a W. It's not a W. It's definitely a H.
Yeah. And also, I don't like albums. Like, this happened a lot in the 90s and 2000s where there were albums where there were like two or three good songs.
Right.
And the rest of it was just crap. Just crap that they just threw on there just so that they could say that they had an album because they had to fulfill the obligation of like releasing an album. Like, I didn't want that. Like, I don't want B-sides on my debut album. Like, I want every song to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Yeah, it's real hard.
It's really hard to
do. It's real hard. Ask all those bands in the 90s. That, you know, that's what happened. That's why Napster ended up happening. What ended up happening was record companies got greedy and they realized that, like, oh, we're charging $10.99 for this 11-song album. Why don't we tell them to put 18 songs on? Like, fill it up. We still got more. We can charge 20.
Yeah.
And then you just ended up with shit albums.
Yeah.
You know? And then kids got smart. They're not, I'm spending fucking $20 on an album of a band I never heard on just because of one song.
One good song.
Or I'm going to download the one new good song from this Napster thing.
Yeah.
And then share it with my friends and be like, hey, don't buy that record, dude, because it sucks.
I got the single.
I got the song. I got the good song on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy how.
They did it to themselves, those labels. But their greed, Now we have Spotify. We wouldn't have any of that stuff they would have had a heart and soul.
Yeah. I remember buying CDs in the 90s and 2000s, and it was like $20-25 for an album. It was really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Katie, is there anything else I'm missing? It's been great talking. I like that you're walking around with your vax card.
Oh, yeah. Walk around with my vax card all the time. I got my booster.
Oh, you did? Oh, I need to get my booster.
Yeah.
I got the COVID.
Oh, no.
After I was vaccinated.
Oh, no.
Yeah, back in August.
Oh, no. Was it bad?
No, it wasn't bad at all.
That's good.
It was like being on acid for 2 days and then just being real tired and then for like 4 days, but not being able to taste or smell for like 10.
Ugh.
Which was weird.
Yeah. I don't want to get COVID.
No.
I really don't.
I tell you, I was relieved though when I got it because I spent, you know, so long, like over a year, like a year and a half freaking out about it, that when I finally got it, the first feeling I had was like, shh, now I don't have to worry about getting COVID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just like, I'm afraid because
you have some issues?
Yeah, I'm high risk because I have mental health issues, you know?
Oh, yeah,
and also I'm a singer. So, like, if I got long COVID and ended up having, like, heart or lung problems from it, like, I could not sing again, you know? Like, that's a problem.
I could sing again. I quit smoking when I had COVID.
Oh, that's good.
That's why I'm...
Are you still not smoking?
Still not smoking.
Hell
and
yeah.
I just this weekend, as a singer, doing two shows in Houston that were pretty long, I actually felt the first effects of non-smoking.
Yeah.
Like, after a couple months, all of a sudden, when I went to go... sing, you know, for those of you listening that aren't singers, singing isn't about your voice or your throat or your voice box. It's all about your lungs.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And once they got cleared out, I felt a lot better.
Yeah. I miss cigarettes more than I miss drugs. Any drugs or alcohol, period. I love cigarettes. They make you look so cool and I love them. But I have not smoked cigarettes in like 6 years, and it was a very good decision for singing because
it should have wore you out, man.
Yeah, and I've got weak vocal cords. Like, my vocal cords are weak. I get sick so easily, so like cutting those out helped a lot. So stick with it.
You're doing great. I'm like 2.5 months in and I feel good.
Hell yeah.
Feel good about it.
You're gonna feel even better.
I'm three months in.
Yeah,
shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I had my first smoking dream the other night where I smoked.
Yeah.
It was intense.
Yeah.
It was really intense. I was angry and like yelling at people that were telling me, you shouldn't be smoking. You said you weren't. But I don't want to smoke.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Keep with it.
Katie, this has been great talking to you. Thanks for getting heavy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And listen to me on Spotify or iTunes. I also have a new merch store, katierainstore.com.
katierainstore.com?
Yeah. Okay. It's a Shopify store. It's got really, really cool merch that Spreadshirt makes. It's all my designs, though, but Spreadshirt like makes them for me, which is really cool. If you want to support me, because... the hobby of being a pop star is very, very expensive. I am 100% fully independent and do not have a sugar daddy or a patron who pays for my art. I pay for all of it out of my pocket with my day job. So please support me so that I can keep making music, buy merch and buy my music and go to shows and share my stuff with people if you like it. That's the biggest compliment that I can get is if somebody says, a friend told me to listen to you and I love your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you check it out, this is the first time. Katie, this is like your fifth or sixth time on the show.
I know.
I don't even know what number. I'm just going to say Katie Rain 2021. That's what I've been doing with people. I can't remember how many times I've been on the show.
Yeah, it's been at least half a dozen times.
Yeah. Well, it's great seeing you again.
Yes, great seeing you too.
Love you. Stay strong. You're making great music. Congratulations on the record.
Woo!
Everyone get out there, check out katierain.com and katierainstore.com. And check her out on all of the new mixes of Love Struck out
Love
now.
Me Loud.
Love Me Loud. Sorry, shit.
It's okay. I've got a lot of
love
songs.
Oh, the video for Love Struck.
Got Away.
No, there's a video for Love Struck that is in the Austin.
Video festival.
Yeah, that's too much shit.
And then Got Away just come out. There's too much stuff.
Just go to katierain.com. Go find Katie on Spotify. Go find you on YouTube.
Yeah,
wherever
I'm
you
everywhere.
Are. You're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. Just look for the colorful stuff.
They see me back, nobody see me. Never could have dreamed I'd be so happy.
That's Katie Rain, her new single, Love Me Loud, and the many mixes of it available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Go to katierain.com for all of your Katie Rain needs. Go to katierainstore.com to buy stuff of Katie Rain. Check out her video for Love Struck at the Austin Music Video Festival next week. Great song, too. I like that song, Love Struck. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out katierain.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, all the places, all the time, news shows. Happy Black Friday, and have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. Let's get down.
Laugh before you lose quiet and solemn. Then you walked right in, turned up the volume. Quiet and solemn. Then you walked right in, turned up the volume.